Welcome to the IndyCast. For the last 4 years, bringing to you pop culture, professional wrestling, and a splash of crass. Now to your hosts, Chad and Shelly Allen, Zach Romero, and Luna Lynn. This is the IndyCast.
Greetings, everybody. Nice switch up. Welcome to the IndyCast. Chad Allen, Zach Romero. It is a two-man power trip episode. I bet you are. Bing bong to that one. You're lucky we're using my phone. I don't have the soundboard. Zachary, we have a guest today.
That's not my name. Perfect. yes, we do. We have a returning guest to the IndyCast in the rebooted season 4.
That's right.
To catch everybody up. This is one of the front runners of additional members of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of hosting
duties. Probably our sixth guest host, if we really want to count it that way.
We've been there since the beginning for him, and he's been there since the beginning for us. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing him blossom into this beautiful wrestling bouquet.
Meanwhile, we've gone nowhere.
We still are in the slumps, but that's okay. We'll ride off his coattails.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the IndyCast for the first time.
In a long time.
Jason Kane.
Welcome, Jason.
Oh, I'm glad you guys are having me back. It's been so long since I've been on the IndyCast.
Like, I know.
A really long time.
Yeah. I think
the last time I was on the IndyCast was when you did the live show at the Orpheum. After a random FIP show.
No, I thought like,
I still had short hair.
You did have short hair. I could have sworn we've had him on since then.
I think he might have been on with Luna and I on the phone.
Yeah, there might have been a phoner. There could have been a phoner in there, too. But
since then,
maybe.
Yeah.
Jason Cade has taken the damn world by storm.
World traveler Jason Cade.
True. World traveler trying to steal my spot at Brawl at the announcer's table. Jason Cade.
Which, by the way, Jason, thank you for letting me know, by the way, that apparently what I need to do to get behind the announcer table at Brawl is to just tell them I'm doing a couple matches and knocking somebody out of the way.
Yeah, basically wait till I get in the ring and then just steal my
right.
seat.
Or I do paper, rock, scissors with Buckshot, and
we can
switch. So,
but Jason, so, you know, when we first kind of had you on the show way back when, you were, you know, an ACW staple, you were mainly just a Florida guy, and now you've branched out, A, all over this country, and B, all over out of this country.
Right.
You took, was it your first official trip to Mexico this past month?
Yeah, actually, it was my first trip to Mexico ever.
Hmm.
It wasn't the first time out of the country. I did Canada this past year too, a few times working with Alpha One and Smash. But first time south of the border for Mexico, actually south of the border, not in South Carolina. The stop at south of the border, which I do love, by the way.
You're the only person that loves that, Jason.
South of the border.
That place is horrible and dirty and scary, and I don't know why you like it.
Also,
it's a staple. When you're driving through South Carolina, you have to stop at the south of the border.
And
we once did a road trip back from New York. It was like me, Swan, Rob Naylor, Brandon Josh, and Sal. And Sal just wakes up out of a dead sleep and was like, pull over south of the border. So we pull over south of the border, and then me and Rob Naylor proceeded to make Sal take a picture with us while we're all wearing sombreros. This picture is out online somewhere.
I will find it and change my hype picture for this.
I was
going to
say, A, that. B, world's greatest impression of Sal. We just got to hear that.
But
you got to visit Mexico, a.k.a., you know, Sweaty Canada, as it's sometimes known.
Sweaty Canada.
And
good God, man.
And so you were there with Cruz, actually, former guest of the IndyCast.
Yep, my tag team partner on Tuesdays, Cruz.
And so who brought you in to Mexico, and what were your impressions of that? I'm not going to give you up. It's only going to get me in trouble if I come up with another nickname for it. So.
I think Sweaty Canada might be the...
What were your impressions of Sweaty Canada, and what companies brought you down?
It was with DTU. I actually met them at WrestleCon after the Super Show. Crazy Boy came up to me and was talking to me about how, like, I really impressed him, and he really wanted me to come down for a tour. So I said, okay, cool. So I went down there for 5 days, and the first day, it was just me and Desmond Xavier, and we showed up, and, like, the entire locker room was, like, sitting up by the ring and gave us, like, a standing ovation. And then they all stood up and, like they obviously said it in Spanish. We had a translator. They stood up and told us how, like, happy they were that we were there and how they looked our stuff up, and they were honored to be able to share a locker room and a ring with us and stuff, which I thought was mind-blowing. Anybody was saying this stuff to me, but... well, at least that's what they said they were saying. They could have been lying, you know. But they were great. They were, everyone treated us like we were family. And like initially going down there, I was nervous because like I've never been to Mexico and I don't speak Spanish, so like, they had the whole language barrier there. And it was just a blast. It was like 5 awesome days, except for like getting sick. Like the food made me sick. So, like for the last 3 days. Like, the first 2 days, I just had the shits. Like, it was bad. It was bad.
You know you're not...
For the last, like, two and a...
You know you're not supposed to drink what? The water, right, Kate? You, that's the whole thing.
I didn't drink the water. It was just the food. Like, I had bottled water the whole time. But, like, oh, man, it was just bad. I was just pooping left and right. I was telling them all, they had mucho caca. But,
that's all you need to learn.
Yeah.
Well, Kate, yeah. Let me ask you this. Which is more difficult, to plan and call a match with a language barrier or to wrestle a match and try not to shit your pants the whole time?
Well, I've wrestled a few matches and tried not to shit my pants the whole time, so I think that's easier.
He's become an expert at that now.
Actually, it goes...
Yeah, because I refuse, once I put my gear on, to take it off again, and so I'm done. And sometimes I have to poop during matches. So it's like, well, hope I don't poop today. And it hasn't happened yet. So,
which that fact alone.
I wrestled a whole tournament. The USWA tournament that I won had to poop the entire tournament. 3 matches. And one of them was against John Davis, where I thought I was really going to poop my pants during that match. But I didn't. So, yeah. I've become an expert at wrestling when having to poop.
And I believe I can safely say on behalf of John Davis, thank you for not pooping.
Well, I was actually going to say that that alone puts Jason Cade above Psycho Sid Vicious in terms of wrestling quality.
True.
Because Psycho Sid has shit his pants in the ring before.
This is true.
Jason Cade has not.
That's true.
So, better wrestler, also, I would say so.
I actually just heard a story recently. It also puts him above WWE Hall of Famer Andre the Giant, who apparently pooped on Bad News Brown during a match once. I just heard that story yesterday.
There you go. So, Jason, if you need to make a t-shirt that says, I'm better than Andre the Giant and Psycho Sid Vicious.
Because I've never pooped
myself. Because I've never pooped in the ring. You carte blanche. You can totally do that.
Maybe we need to make a poop-cade poop shirt.
That's true. That could be the new hashtag. So, but how? So,
no,
so
don't poop, Kate. Don't poop.
Yeah, that's true. Don't
please,
poop.
Please don't poop. Poop.
Yeah, please don't poop. Poop.
I see a chant I'm starting next time.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
live Jason Cade.
But let's talk a little bit about you actually like planning your matches and things like that when your opponent doesn't speak English.
Well, actually, it's a lot easier when it was actually easier to plan a match. Matches in Mexico than it was with some of the matches I do in Florida, because like wrestling is a like universal language, so I just make a gesture and we just like pantomime things, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah, and nobody ever says no one's ever like, oh man, I don't want to take that, or I don't know how to take that. Everyone's just like, okay, and everyone just takes it because everyone knows how to do everything down there. Like the pre-show every night, all 5 nights, were these kids who were like 13, 14, and they were awesome. Like, these kids were doing all kind of stuff. Like, all kind of lucha. And, like, they were just phenomenal. Like, selling, like, everything. Like, they're gonna be, like, these, like, the top guys in the world in the next, like, 10, 15 years. Like, these kids are, they're great. So, like, it's just such a high level out there. Like, because they start when they're, like, super young and everything. So, like, calling them, like I said, when they say wrestling is a universal language, it really is a universal language. Because, like, it just didn't affect anything. Like, I was able to call them a match, no problem. with everyone. And then there were some people that could speak a little bit of English, so they knew a little bit. But like, and like there was a translator, but I didn't have to use them that much. So it was way better than I thought it was gonna be. Cause I thought it was like, man, I thought I wasn't gonna be able to call anything because like they don't like, I mean, it's the language barrier, they don't know. But like I was actually pleasantly surprised of how easy it was.
Now everybody, much like Jason Cade, prepare your buttholes here because I'm about to pull a question from way back in his first appearance. So if anybody listening hasn't heard that first monumental interview with Jason Cade, as he's swearing right now, we have to censor it. Back in the first interview, we had talked about how Jason had learned his first sort of era of wrestling came from the training he was taking, and it wasn't until he saw the Young Bucks in person that he decided to sort of shift where his technique was going and sort of change up his style. So I'm curious, Jason, being in that wrestle culture in Mexico, did you take anything away? Did you shift anything? Did you have that sort of moment again where you're like, wow, this is the kind of wrestling I want to do? Any of those kind of epiphany moments while in Mexico?
I learned quite a few things when I was out there that like I'm starting to incorporate things now slowly but surely. But not like a whole 360, oh, this is what I'm going to do now. Like not like when I watched the Bucks and was really introduced to indie wrestling for the first time. Nothing that major, but I did like learn stuff that I could take away and use in my style now.
Good. I was going to say, I think that's basically, as a world traveler, I think that's probably the best you can do. It's just to take a little something other than, you know, possible digestive...
Possible dysentery.
Yeah. Other than the dysentery, you want to take something positive with you everywhere you go.
Jason Cade has died of dysentery.
Yeah. For the last 2 days, all I eat was crackers and Doritos. Like, that's all I ate for the last 2 days there. Because that's the only thing I could like that would like settle my stomach. It was crazy.
I've never had Doritos ever settle my stomach. ever.
I'm going to Mexico.
So apparently. Yeah. So, well, here, so let me segue off of yours then, because obviously, like we talked about when Jason got introduced to independent wrestling via the Young Bucks, it kind of changed his career. Now, well, he just recently debuted for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, who in the main event of that show just happened to be the Young Bucks. So, did you get a chance while you were at PWG? We'll talk about the overall of it in just a minute, but did you get a chance to meet the Young Bucks, and did, or were they like held away in their own locker room with, you know, don't look at them in the eye?
Actually, for that show, the Young Bucks weren't there.
They'd I thought they were the main one. They're the next one, damn it.
The main event for that show was Zack Sabre Jr. and Marty Scurll versus Red Dragon.
That was Red Dragon.
Which is awesome, by the way. So. The Young Bucks will be there next month, which I've met them like twice, which I can't wait to like, you know, be like there again at PWG with them. That's going to be awesome. But PWG was just like amazing.
I was going to say, let's gush about that for a second. You got to make your debut at PWG.
I'm interested how you got booked to PWG on this one. What was the connection? Was this another thing that maybe came through from, like, WrestleMania this year? Or how did that come about to get you kind of connected with Pro Wrestling Guerrilla?
He was in the same bathroom shitting his brains out in Mexico as the guy who books PWG. They bonded over to
him. That's Excalibur, I do believe.
Yes.
So.
Ricochet had been going to bat for me for a while, and then they asked Sammy if he knew who I was, and Sammy started going to bat for me, and then like also WrestleMania weekend helped because Excalibur was able to call my match in the 10-man, and then Shane Strickland went to bat for me, and I guess the Holy Trinity there, that's what did it. And I didn't know it was finalized and it was actually going to happen and confirmed. And so they tweeted that I was making my debut.
Nice.
Then the Pope called and they vouched for Jason Cade. And then it was basically, it was in.
I really didn't know. Like, I was sitting on my couch watching TV and I get a text saying, congratulations. I'm like, on what? PWG just got announced. And I went and looked, and it got announced. Jason Kidd versus Desmond Xavier, June 16th. And I was like, oh my God, this is really gonna happen. So yeah, that's how that came about. But yeah, just people going to bat for me, and they were willing to give me a chance.
So,
and I ran with it.
So let me see if I can not botch this up then. From what I've heard, obviously I haven't seen any of the footage yet. I'm sure knowing PWG that'll be out very soon. I heard the match went very well, and I believe I heard you got a please come back chant, which might have predicated the next show, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they were literally into me from the time I came out. So that was awesome. And some people knew who I was already, which is mind-boggling. That people even knew who I was. I've only been in California once. So, and it was 40 people in that crowd. This was 420. It just sold out, and they were loud, and they were going crazy. And literally at points, I felt the building shaking. That's how crazy they were going for this match that we're having. And then the match ends, Desmond picks me up in the middle of the ring, and the crowd just starts chanting, "Please come back." And it was I can't even put into words how that felt. It was literally the coolest thing I've ever had happen in my life. To have the PWG crowd accept me and take me in like that so easily. After one match, and I literally just put everything I had into that match. I was like, it's all or nothing, really. It's make it or break it now. This is it. And it was it was the best thing that I've ever it was the best thing I've ever. It's up there with the 10 man at WrestleCon. It was such. I can't put it into words. It was a humble experience.
Well, three rapid questions about that run at PWG. Number one, how did the tracksuit go over?
Oh, it was great. Everyone loved it.
Good.
Cane Bear is awesome. People were asking, hey, you can put that on a shirt? And I'm like, I will pretty soon.
Okay, hold on. Let me put brakes on this because I haven't heard the story. Tracksuit?
Yes. Jason Cade contacted Fully Gimmicked and said, hey, I've got this idea. I want a black and white tracksuit with the classic Jason Cade logo on it and, a little teddy bear version of Jason Cade. And so we whipped it up and it looked stylish as shit. And we mailed it to him. I think it got to him a couple days before his flight, threw it in the bag, flew over to California. And I think I saw maybe a picture or two of him coming down to the ring wearing the jacket. So that, great, super glad it went over well. Number two, did you get to cross paths with James Franco? I saw that he was in the crowd at PWG.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm kind of upset about that. So I'm sitting there, and we're all selling merch, and then Sammy, Jake, and Trevor all walk off, and I'm like, what are they going to do? They went to go meet James Franco and didn't tell me. So I got left out of the James Franco meeting, so I didn't get to meet him. That was a little butthurt about that.
I was just going to say, that could have been your closer shot to meeting and greeting Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I know. So, I just gotta keep busting my ass and keep getting brought back so I can meet Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Which is, I think,
is complete, though.
I think officially your run to try to meet Sarah Michelle Gellar is probably the greatest underdog story in professional wrestling today.
Even the Wrestle Circus is tweeting it for me now. that's amazing.
The key.
Did you guys see that tweet?
Yeah, that's the key. Final question about PWG right at the moment is, while in California, either trip, have you eaten at In-N-Out or Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles?
I ate In-N-Out the first time I went. The first time when I went for MoCap, I ate In-N-Out. I didn't even eat it in L.A.
Oh, okay.
It was okay. I have not eaten at Roscoe's, though.
It is delicious. However, I've eaten there twice now.
However, I did get to go to Sunnyvale High School, and that's really what's important.
That's true. That is pretty rad.
Yeah.
See, the funny part is I got to have In-N-Out when I was in Texas, because they have them there. Whataburger is actually better.
Oh, okay.
I like Whataburger better.
That's a ballsy statement.
I had Fatburger last time I was there. That was pretty good.
I've yet to have Fatburger.
Yeah. So. It was really like you would think. It was ridiculously large.
But actually, kind of speaking of Texas, you've been doing stuff with Russell Circus, which is based out of there. Tell us a little bit about what you've done so far with them.
I actually debut at Russell Circus this coming Saturday.
Very nice.
Which I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it will be
tomorrow.
June 24th, which is this coming Saturday. So I make today the 20th. Sure. But yeah, I am going to be debuting for Russell Circus pretty soon. So hopefully that could be a continued thing that I get to do, because they seem like an awesome, fun group of people to wrestle in front of.
Well, let me ask you this. So, in addition to wrestling in Sweaty Canada, wrestling in California for PWG, wrestling in Texas for Russell Circus, you've also been paired up with Veda Scott. And I was curious about you guys as a tag team. What have you learned from Veda, and what have you taught Veda?
Well, we just play off each other so well. Like, a lot of, like, the promo and character stuff, like, she's helped me with. And I've got her doing some, like, more cool stuff and everything. Like, we just are, like, the perfect match. Like, if you've watched any of our matches, which the match with Shane Strickland and Lacey is on YouTube, so you can, from Fest, but you can catch that out. We're just like, it's like a hand and glove fit. We just work. It's like, when you look at it on paper, it really shouldn't work, and it's like the most random pairing, but I've listened to podcasts saying like, oh, you can tell that they've been a tag team for a long time, and really we haven't. We've only wrestled 6 matches together. Just our chemistry is just off the charts. We're trying to get more matches, but and then we keep happening to accidentally get matching singles gear, so we don't really have to have tag gear. We can just keep wearing the same gear that we have, because it just happens to match. So it's just like, I was teaming with Aaron Solo. I didn't really want to be in a tag team, but like, Veda's the only person that I really wanted to team with. Like, it's just so much fun, and she's the best. So if you're listening to us, promoters, put Pop Culture together, because we will have fun. We will cut the sleeves off your T-shirts, and we will wear glasses and look adorable doing it.
Well, let me ask you this. In 2017, do you feel like you both have a better opportunity as an intergender tag team? Like, do you feel like you guys have more opportunity? Like you said, you've only wrestled 6 matches together, but do you feel like you have maybe a better shot at meeting up against other mixed tag teams than, like, maybe previous years? Or do you feel like it's just a crapshoot and, you know, you'll get booked where you're booked?
I definitely feel like it's better like in 2017. Like it's really Joey and Candace paved the way. Like, had it not been for them, like, people wouldn't really take intergender tag teams seriously. I think intergender wrestling is a thing that, like, some people, oh, I don't like it, I hate it, I shouldn't wrestle girls. Like, no, it's stupid. Like, if we're all wrestlers, if done right, it could be some of, like, I have some of my most fun with Veda tagging. Like, it's great. Like, I think people who don't like intergender wrestling and don't think intergender tag teams should be a thing are just, like, kind of short-sighted. And, like, the business has changed. It's completely different now. It's not the same like it was in the 80s. And back in my day, men didn't wrestle with it. No, it's not that anymore. Like, it's awesome. And, like, it's really thanks to, like, Joey and Candace. Like, that's like the intergender tag team that, like, if you're gonna have, and, like, they can wrestle guys, and they can wrestle a guy and a girl. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they're not just an intergender tag team, they're just a tag team. And it's awesome. Like, no matter who they wrestle. And that's what me and Veda want to be.
Yeah, I think between,
not just an intergender tag team, just a tag team.
I think between Joey and Candace and
Lucha Underground being so willing to you know, have the intergender matches there, I think that it's definitely turned a big corner in the last, like, what, 3 years, I think?
Yeah.
Into what people are willing to accept nowadays. So I think it's the right time. I think we had a conversation with this during our Anthony Lee episode, because him and his wife are a tag team, and about how there seems to be more and more of that out there, and I don't think that's a bad thing in the least. So,
is there a tag team in particular that you and Vado really want to work it with?
Other than Joey and Candice. Let's take them out of the equation.
Other than Joey and Candice. Really anybody. There's a lot of... Sami Callihan, Jessica Havoc, Ricochet and Tessa. Like, there's a lot of different tag teams that we want to wrestle. Like, we just want to wrestle everyone and anyone. Like, we'd love to get back in the ring with Cruz and Angel Rose again.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun until Angel dislocated her elbow. That just... I think it happened.
Trip Cassidy and Priscilla Kelly would be a good match for them, too.
True.
I can't get... What's up?
I said Trip Cassidy and Priscilla Kelly, the Carnies, that would be a good mixed tag to fight as well. Because you guys have different styles.
That would be great. Like, we really want to wrestle any and all people.
I'd like to see them wrestle I'd like to see them wrestle the ducks too. I don't know what it is about the ugly ducklings and them that pique my interest, but there's something there for that one. So
well, hopefully that happens. And we've been in talks to go back to PWX and not just wrestle other intergender tag teams, just to be in the tag team division. So
nice.
Hopefully that's a thing that happens.
So also, speaking of wrestling women, when you got back from Mexico, you went on a burrito attacking spree on Tuesday nights. Tell everybody a little bit about the backstory of that.
Okay, so on Tuesdays at Pro Wrestling 2.0, like, basically Tuesdays belong to me and Cruz. So start with Lacey, and you know, it went on to. It went on to Trisha Dora, and you know, like, Tuesdays belong to us, and we just heard, you know, Aria Blake and Milan and Nikki running their mouth, and I don't really like that. So they started trying to talk mess on Twitter and Facebook and everything.
Well, I mean, they are.
So I told. I'm sorry?
They are spoiled brats. That is officially the tag name. So.
Exactly. So they just run in their mouth. And then I told Aria, I sent her a picture of a burrito. Oh. And so I'm going to hit... So what'd she say? She's like, I think the exact words were, you just want to touch me. And I said, I'm going to touch you upside down with this burrito when I get back. Because I was in Mexico. So she can talk all big game when I'm out of the country. And I couldn't have people thinking I was a liar. So I came back, and I hit her upside the head with a burrito. And I let them know that they better not let me and Cruz catch them anywhere around that building on a Tuesday. Any other day, we don't care. But not Tuesdays, because Tuesdays belong to me and Cruz.
Yes. So I'm assuming it's some Tuesday that match has to happen, right? It'll be like burrito on a pole. We would go that route. That would be maybe the way to go for this. Delicious, delicious burrito.
It's gonna be on July 18th.
Oh, we got a date. Cool.
Yeah. Pro Wrestling 2.0, and it's actually Aria Blake's birthday. So I believe what I challenged her for is a birthday death match.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, we will see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'll have Cruz with me. She'll have Mila with her. But it's pretty much going to be Jason K versus Aria Blake. And this match has been building for years. If you remember, back in the ACW
days,
me and Solo were, you know, were a tag team. Wrestling the first degree, she's kept sticking her nose in our business. And you know what? It's time she gets dealt with.
The slowest burn rivalry in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
These two. Also,
should
probably Google what the proper way to get fondant out of your eyeballs is if it's a birthday death match.
We'll see what happens. I'm going to fight Aria Blake on a Tuesday. It's been building. It was bound to happen, so.
Well.
So, Jason, since you are globetrotting these days and taking the long trips, I wanted to ask, like, for instance, your lengthy flight from PWG back here to Florida. What is a go-to album or artist that you're listening to while on such a lengthy, parentheses, fucking miserable flight from the West Coast to the East Coast?
My snores, I just sleep the entire flight. I don't actually listen to anything. I just put my neck pillow on and put my head up against the window. Or if I'm in the middle, I just put my head up against my shoulder with my neck pillow. And I just sleep.
You lucky man.
As soon as it takes off, I'm out.
Yeah, I wish I had that. That's...
Even if you did, you've got two children. Like, well, even if you were like, oh, daddy nap time, they'd be like, Dad!
Yeah, well, that's true.
Me, on the other hand, leaving Las Vegas at like 3 in the morning their time to get back to Florida, and I could not sleep a wink. It was goddamn miserable.
But let me guess, Luna unconscious.
No, Luna staring me dead in the face going, we could die at any moment, because she's not great on planes.
Oh, she's not a plane person?
No.
Okay, so. Obviously, Kate is, because he can sleep.
Yeah, no,
right
goddamn kidding.
So.
He's like me when I was like 4 years old in the back seat of the car. Just like, going to grandma's house.
I bet you he's like, do you fall asleep in cars that easy too?
Yes, I do.
See, he's just...
Unless I'm driving.
Well, I would hope. Yeah, that's a good thing. You shouldn't do it while you're driving.
Especially when I'm driving.
Yeah.
I usually can stay up when it's like me and Veda driving. Because usually we always used to be like the only drivers. So like we just stay up with each other and don't sleep. So that's a thing. But when I can sleep, I knock out quick.
So, Cade, since you're an older, wiser wrestler now, you're out of your rookie years, and you know you're a more of a mainstay now. What is something in wrestling in general, be it on social media or the wrestling business or what have you? What is something that really irks you? What's something in wrestling that just really irritates the shit out of you?
Burrito on a pole match.
Yeah, you know, girls like to talk mess and don't realize that Tuesdays belong to me. I was recently at a school where like guys just didn't like they showed up late to training and they didn't get in the ring and like work on anything. They were just there. And they waited till like the drills were over when they had open ring time to go, oh, I want to work on my finish. And they've had like one match, two matches. And it's like, dude, what? Like, what finish? Like, you should be in here working, like working to get better. This is how you put in the work. This is how you put in the work to get better. Like, and I asked another guy who was standing out there, you're not gonna get in the ring working or anything. He was like, oh man, my head's not in to be in here. It's like, why waste your time coming? Why waste other people's time? Like, it's just like. I just don't like when laziness, like when guys are trying, like aren't putting in work when they're training. Like if you're gonna be there, get something out of it. Like that kind of irks me. Other than that, like I try to like not let things bother me too much. I'm very much more calm than in years past. And when it's just like things are gonna happen, they happen. Just gonna go with the flow, and you know, keep trying to be the best me that I can be.
Well, another thing going for you, in addition to you globetrotting and getting better and better, is you are also incredibly active on social media. And there's been a lot of older generation wrestlers saying that, you know, basically social media and the smarter wrestling fan is making the business more difficult or hurting wrestling in some way or in some cases killing the business.
Right.
How do you feel about how social media fits in with professional wrestling these days?
I think it kind of opens up and lets people know, like who we are as people. Like, I just retweet things that I think are funny. Like, everything I really put on Twitter is just to make myself laugh. Or I'm yelling at Phil Jackson in the New York Knicks because he was so stupid. And in between that, I promote my shows. So, like, yeah, sorry, I'm also reading right now about Phil Jackson's press conference that he had, and it's just making me angrier and angrier. Let me take off Twitter. But yeah, like it's a thing that's supposed to help us, and it does. It lets people know, like, hey, this is where I'll be. This is what I'm doing, and like it lets the fans know who you are, and then you get sweet gifts of matches. Like, everyone likes to see gifts. They're awesome. People say, oh, gifts are killing us. No, gifts are making wrestling cool again. Although I do agree that people shouldn't just do things just to get a gift. That is a problem, and I can admit to being a culprit of that. but you know, it's fans like it. It's making the fans connect with us better. So like that's what it's all about, connecting with the fans. Like, however you can do that is how you should do it.
So let me kind of follow up on part of that, by the way. So you did say on social media recently that until Phil Jackson is gone from the Knicks, you will not give them another penny. So have you picked a new team to get behind then, since the Knicks are obviously out of the question?
I have not picked a new team. Being a Knicks fan is like being in an abusive relationship. you always say you're going to leave, but you never actually do. Because you just can't for some reason, and I should leave. There's plenty other fish. There's 29 other fish in the sea. Well, 27, because I wouldn't be a Cavs or Warriors fan right now. But you know, the Lakers are looking good right now. They're about to get Lonzo Ball, and I don't even care about Lonzo Ball, but LaVar Ball is awesome. The Oklahoma City Thunder, Russell Westbrook, my favorite player right now. There's an option. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they're going to be really good. The Milwaukee Bucks, the Clippers. There's plenty of other teams. But for some reason, me being an idiot, I'm loyal to the Knicks. And they hurt me all the time. But they will not get another dime from me. I will not buy anything. I will not buy a ticket. I will not buy a jersey. I will not... I'll watch the games on TV. I'm not going to lie. I'm not... going out of my way for this team. I stick by that.
And then I think one that I'm interested to get your take on this one too here, because Jason is a big theme park person, and there has been a lot of announcements for Nintendo World in your particular park, Mr. Romero.
That's true.
In Universal Studios, I guess in all of the Universal Studios. They're starting at the one in Japan, apparently.
No surprise.
Yeah, well, so Jason, what are your thoughts on Nintendo World, and then Captain Zach's Universal Tours? I will let you put in your two cents on that.
Man, I didn't even see any announcements about Nintendo World, and I go to Universal at least 3 times a week. I should really know more about this place. I think it's awesome. I think it'd be great. I wonder where they would put it out of here. Obviously, it'll start in Japan, because Japan gets everything first. But I'm really interested in seeing what they put out here. Hopefully, it replaces that Sunday comic part in Isles of Adventure that sucks.
Captain Zach Romero?
A couple of notes here. Number one, Jason, you are 100% correct. Toon Lagoon sucks donkey balls in Island of Adventure.
Nobody gives a shit about there's a Kathy ice cream shop. Nobody gives a shit about that.
I almost, though, walking through there, because it's the first time I've walked through there. It was not too long ago, because my shoot job does a family day through that in that park. So I got to go for very cheap, which is wonderful. I almost stopped to get a Popeye picture just because I can't believe anybody actually would want to get a Popeye picture.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a single shit. And, Jason, let me pitch you on this. You take out all the goofy shit from the Popeye ride at Toon Lagoon, but you leave the ride itself. It's like one of those circle, like Congo River Rapids. It's one of those big circle boats that just sort of bounces around.
It's a rapid ride.
You gut all the Popeye shit. You replace it with Pokemon shit. You make a Pokemon Snap ride.
You could. Do you still get wet?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Well, you have to. It's water.
I hate water rides. But that would be cool. I just hate water rides. That's me personally.
But the other thing is, the rumor that I have heard is that a Nintendo expansion in Florida would mean that they would bulldoze Fievel's Playland, Curious George, the Barney, A Day in the Park with Barney, all the kid area up next to E.T., that would all get flattened, and then that's where you build your Nintendo Land.
Oh, no, I like Curious George, but that stuff can go, because it kind of sucks. I don't really like E.T. either. Like, Frankie loves E.T. The ride sucks, though. Like, that can go.
That's the last Spielberg ride, though. Nintendo Land there.
Yeah, I heard that E.T.'s not going anywhere. They might redo they might move where the entrance is, though.
Oh, okay.
So that's the last I had heard on that one. Hopefully they'll move the creepy second half of that ride out, because that's...
Come on. You go to the alien planet, and it's just a wide-awake nightmare for another 2 minutes.
Yeah. But Super Ref Frankie Gastineau does indeed love that ride. Yeah.
So, Kate, let me ask you, what's your favorite and least favorite ride at Universal?
My favorite ride... is it between Spider-Man and Hulk? Absolutely love those rides. And my least favorite ride, you know, it's not even E.T. I would have to say it's Jimmy Fallon.
Really?
I hate Jimmy. The line is really cool. The line's cool. But that's it. Jimmy Fallon ride sucked.
Have you been?
Still better than Twister, but it sucks.
No, I've not been on the Jimmy Fallon race to New York.
Why not? I'm shocked.
I own a company that makes a lot of t-shirts.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of free time to fuck about with late night hosts.
And their races
through various cities that replace Bill Paxton-driven adventure
shows.
What
was it there before Twister?
Ghostbusters.
See, God, now damn it, that would have been like...
No, that's the beauty is... Universal, the contract they had to use Ghostbusters ran out in like 93.
Okay.
It probably would have been 94, 95.
Okay.
And their thought was, well, who gives a shit about Ghostbusters? Let's put some new hotness in here. Oh, what, that movie just came out? Twister? Perfect. And not dated at all.
Right.
And as we all know, one of the greatest movie franchises of all time. Twister.
Right. Yeah.
So,
because Twister 2 was such a...
Yeah. It answered all the questions remaining from Twister 1.
Right.
And then the Jimmy Fallon, the Minions ride has gone through like 10 changes as well. Other thing I found out...
It's almost like a 45-minute ride.
Yeah, true. Other thing I found out, so our Back to the Future ride... closed in 2004, I think.
Okay.
No, 2005. California's Back to the Future ride closed in 2006. When did Universal Japan's Back to the Future ride close?
I'm going
to
bet you it hasn't. It's still open.
Close. Fucking last year.
Nice.
I was like, God damn it, I didn't know that. I would have tried to put the money together to book a trip to ride that goddamn ride one more time.
Japan gets everything, man.
I don't know if they still do. I know they had a version of Jaws. They may still have the Jaws right there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, we'll see. But anyway, Jason, why Universal over Disney?
Universal Universe is just more of a it's more appealing to me than Disney. Like Disney's cool, don't get me wrong. Like Beta loves Disney, so like many weekend we did Disney. But like Universe is it's closer. It's more adult friendly than Disney. Universal all the way.
Now, final Universal question. So let's say somebody like Chad or somebody who doesn't visit the park as often is there. What would be your insider advice to grab a bite to eat? What is the best place to grab a bite to eat that maybe is off the beaten path a little bit, or maybe isn't, you know, quite as obvious to the average tourist?
Oh, man. Number one, I'm going to say Mythos. It's, you know, it's the best restaurant on property. There's also, a hot dog place in City Walk that's pretty good. And then as far as other in-the-park places, I always eat at that Bumblebee Man's taco truck. So that'd be great.
I love that it went from Mythos, which no joke has won like ridiculous amounts of culinary awards.
Right.
Like super focused high end dining. Second place, Baseball Hot Dog Hall of Fame. Third place, Simpsons themed taco truck.
That's right.
Like there's really he's the Guy Fieri of theme park food.
By the way, I think all three answers are wrong, because definitely Cowfish is definitely the best place in that park.
Delicious.
Cowfish is amazing.
I'll give you Cowfish. I ate there once.
I'll say you can have a bento box, which has burger, sliders, and sushi. It's awesome.
I ate at Margaritaville once, and I didn't like it.
Well, that's, also an uncomfortable place to be if you're under the age of, 40.
Yeah. But the good news is always fins to the left, fins to the right.
How dare you?
I was out and I didn't like my food, so the girl I was with made them give me something new. Because I don't like to send food back. She was like, no. I'm like, have you eaten something you don't like? He doesn't like this. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so embarrassed. So, I ended up getting something else. I don't remember what it was.
It was also equally terrible.
Yeah, that also sucked balls, but... So,
also, okay, other final Universal question. In your opinion, quit swearing.
Can't figure out why. Are you landing a plane?
In your opinion, the employees at Universal, who has the more broken soul, dead-eyed stare? People working at the Harry Potter parks or people working at the Chocolate Factory in City Walk?
See, I haven't been to the Chocolate Factory yet.
I missed it, actually. Packed.
It's delicious. It's ridiculously expensive, and everyone there doesn't want to be there. It's pretty great. It's actually it's the most realistic version of Willy Wonka ever.
Just
no one's happy.
Have you been to NBC?
No, I was there. Oh, Jesus, I've eaten there a dozen times back when it was the NASCAR Cafe, but I don't know if I've actually eaten there since it's been changed to the NBC
I can
NBC
really see
sport.
You heading right into the NASCAR Cafe. You look like a NASCAR person, if I've ever seen one.
Southern by birth. What the fuck is that stupid saying? Something.
American by birth, Southern by the grace of God.
Thank you, there we go. Anyway, NBC, yes, go on. Delicious,
yeah,
I'm sure.
I mean, the nachos there are great, but employees there hate it. It's, the most inconvenient place to work. Like, no one actually likes being there. They're all miserable. So I would say NBC.
Hey, that sounds like possible personal experience from there. But anyways, Jason, so before we let you go, the most important part of the show, the part that is officially sanctioned by Brian Cage.
Right.
Now is the time to get your shit in.
By the way, when you go to Wrestle Circus, please tell Brian Cage we said hello.
Yes, yes, also true.
I'll text Brian Cage right now. I love every time I'm around Brian Cage, I immediately feel like I'm strong as hell and can live whatever I want.
He exudes muscular radiation.
Tell Brian Cage you want to go with him to a Golden Corral when you're
out. Yeah, hey yo, Cage, let's go fuck up a Golden Corral in Texas.
The IndyCast said I should spend 6 hours with you at a Golden Corral. So, So, but yeah, please,
so please, let's get your
shit in.
Where can people find your merch? Where can people find you online? Where can they find you coming up? Although we did name drop a few upcoming shows, but
yeah, drop more.
Let's name drop some more shows that you'll be working on.
Yeah, Reza Circus, 24th of June, July 7th, back at PWG, PWX, July 8th in North Carolina. So yeah, I'm going coast to coast. I will be. I have such a busy schedule coming up. I don't really remember. I know I'll be at Ronin in August. I should be down at Platinum July 1st. I'll be in the SCI tournament August 5th, 4th, and 5th. Fest on the 23rd of July. That's all I can remember off the top of my head right now. Sorry if anybody I didn't promote their show. I'm sure I'll tweet about it.
Where
you can find me on Twitter at FlyKFly and on Instagram at FlyKFly. And I haven't opened a store yet. I think I'm going to do it this week or when I get back from my circus. Open up either Pro Wrestling Tees or Bottomline Merch or something. I need to open an online store.
Holy gimmick.
I can do that too. I need to go on and open some kind of online store.
Apparently there's a wonderful bear logo that can be used for shirts now, so.
Yeah, Cade Bear is over. yes, there will be Cade Bear shirts pretty soon.
I'm going to start calling them Cade Bear from now on.
We actually had an idea for a pop culture shirt. We have Cade Bear and Cat Vader somehow.
True.
On a shirt.
I'll say,
so that's a thing.
I'll say, we definitely know an artist who could make that happen. So we'll say.
Oh.
Putting up the buckshot signal.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to jam fully gimmicked in there.
That's right. Big boy.
Well, anyways, Cade, thank you so much for making an appearance in season 4. Hopefully we'll meet up at Universal at some point and we can all shit talk employees and go get diabetes at the chocolate factory. And
go get bento boxes of cowfish.
True. And I'm sure we'll definitely have to figure out schedules for when Nintendo Land actually opens in Florida.
Yeah.
Plenty of photo opportunities there. And I'll keep the conspiracy theories going for you so you can be up to the minute on what I think might happen with Nintendo Land. And we wish you continued success and beat the shit out of PWG and get that jacket over.
Like, that's right.
Get that suit. Get that tracksuit over. That's all I'm asking. I ask for so little.
I went to Wrestle Circus this week too.
Thank you. That's all I need in this world.
I'm wearing it everywhere.
And maybe a merch deal with Brian Cage. I don't know. We'll see.
There you go.
But nevertheless, thank you, Jason, for being on. Thank you to everyone listening to this episode.
All dozens and dozens of you.
Thank you for being the wonderful dozens and dozens that you are for our two missing hosts here.
Yeah.
Damn women.
Christ's sake.
See, Cade got it right. He knows how to tag team with the lady, and it works out well. We're committed to tag teams, and
yeah, we keep getting no-shows.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, cards always subject to change.
True.
So, well, until next time, everybody, I'm Chad Allen.
I'm Zach Romero.
And
I'm Jason Cade.
He is. And what we always say,
deuces!